Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We want to give a quick shout out to Tokyo, Japan.
Yes, yes, yes.
Have some new listeners from there. So we're so excited to have you. Please make sure that you are sharing. You can check us out at graceintheshadowsor.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadowsor.org. All right, what you got?
Well, what do you call a lazy baby kangaroo?
A lazy baby kangaroo. I don't know.
A pouch potato.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay.
What do you call a fake noodle?
A fake noodle?
An impasta.
You've done that one before, and I should have remembered it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today in history, when we are recording this, it is April the 3rd, 2024. In 1860 on this day, the first Pony Express service began.
That's sweet.
And in 1882, outlaw Jesse James was shot in the back by Bob Ford, one of his own gang members, reportedly for a $10,000 reward.
Did he get it?
I guess he did. I don't know. It doesn't say. All right. And in 1974, a super tornado outbreak strikes 13 United States. Did you ever hear about that? U.S. states?
What year was it?
1774. We were little. I was four. You were three.
1774?
Yeah. No, 1974.
I was going to say, we were real little. I was like, wow, that was like.
We look good for our age. 1974.
That must have been a bad one.
Yeah,
I think super. I have heard about break. It. I'll have to get on YouTube and find some videos.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Help me relax.
1974. Yeah. Just, I can't stand it when you do the snake videos when I'm trying to go to sleep. You really need to stop that.
Well, I'll put on some tornadoes.
Oh, well, then we'll dream. I dreamed that a snake fell on me one night. And then you dreamed the other night that a snake bit you.
I dreamed a snake bit me, and I fell out of bed, and it was like 4 feet to the bottom.
Fell out of bed.
And it really, I went back to sleep, but the next day I was a little sore.
Yeah. Well, okay, that should tell you something. Stop watching the snake videos before bed.
Yeah.
All right. So what's our topic today?
Total depravity.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the effects of sin, mankind, the world.
Well, that's a lot. Let's do it.
Let's, if you would read Romans chapter 3, 9 through 20.
Okay. Romans 3, 9 through 20. All right. I've got it. No one is righteous. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Speaking of snakes, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin.
So, in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, as I'm kind of...
Okay.
So, what you talked about is basically, and we're going to talk deeper through this in just a second, the effects of sin is that we are dead and that we cannot do a single thing for our salvation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We cannot. Okay. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. As for you who were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath.
So we cannot do a single thing. When Satan tempted Eve and Adam and Eve fell, we know that we all fell with them because we inherit a terminal disease of the sin nature. So we can't do anything. We're children of the devil until God saves us by grace through faith.
Absolutely.
You know, the effects of sin, this is kind of a good little story about the effects of sin. How does a worm get inside an apple? Okay. Perhaps you think the worm burrows in from the outside. No, scientists. Scientists say that they've discovered the worm comes from the inside. But how does it get in there? Simple. Okay. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom.
Oh.
Sometime later, the worm hatches in the heart of the apple, then eats his way out. Sin, like the worm, begins in the heart, works out through a person's thoughts, words, and actions.
My mouth is open.
It is.
Because they really do that?
Yes. And that's kind of like the effect of sin on man.
It starts on the inside.
It starts at the heart of the matter.
At the heart. Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's terminal.
Interesting. Yeah, it is terminal. Yeah. I mean, who wants to eat an apple that has a wormhole in it? Not me.
The apple can't do anything about it.
Nope.
And the same thing with man or humans.
Right. Yeah. On our own. Definitely cannot.
So there's a couple points I want to make here.
All right. Let's do it.
Human nature after the fall.
Okay.
Okay. Romans 5:12. It teaches that humanity inherited a sinful nature from Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. I think you're going to read that.
I think I'm going to read that.
Yeah.
Yes, Romans 5:12.
Yeah.
All right. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in the way death came to all people because all sinned.
So this explains that the sinful nature affects every aspect of human existence.
Correct.
Thoughts, emotions, actions, even aging and death and physiological aspects.
Yes.
It affects every dimension of the human psyche.
Yes.
The universality of sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know what all means?
All. Everybody.
It means all.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of our outward behavior or morality. I mean, we're not as bad as we could be.
Right.
We're just as we have the potential to be really bad.
Right.
But we're restrained by laws. We're restrained by the institutions God created.
Right.
We're restrained by the church.
Yeah.
We're restrained by the Holy Spirit.
True.
But if given the opportunity, we would be as sinful as anyone on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin begins in the heart and it's terminal.
Well, and you know, you hear people say all the time, well, that he had to go to heaven because he was a good man. Well,
none good.
There's none good. And also, you know, somebody may be portray themselves as good, but we have no idea what's going on that in their heart on the inside. Like when that worm's growing.
Yes.
There's things on the inside we just don't know about.
You know, it doesn't. But many people try to earn God's favor.
Right.
By morality.
Mm-hmm.
By self-righteousness.
Right.
By religion.
Right.
By traditions of men. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were not necessarily bad people on the outside.
But on the inside, they were.
They were wicked.
Yeah.
That's why they hated Jesus, because it was the scandal of grace.
Right.
They didn't want someone coming and telling them that they had to come on God's terms, not theirs.
Right.
And human nature wants to do it themselves.
Well, and just like we've talked about before, you don't have to teach a baby or a child how to say no or how to go against what we say. Don't touch that hot stove. What are they going to do? They try to touch the hot stove. So, you know, it is the sin nature is in everyone.
Yes. And, you know, when we try to come on our own efforts.
Right.
We're basically sticking our middle finger up to God, saying we can do it our way.
Absolutely. But we can't. No.
And people want to say, well, if God's so loving, why does he send anyone to hell? The fact of the matter is, he is so loving. He sent his son to die.
Right.
And if you happen to watch The Passion of the Christ, you see what he went through.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think that that is quite loving.
Yes.
And for you to reject that is to stick your middle finger up to God and
Agreed.
Say, I'll do it my way.
Yeah, not okay.
We have an inability to please God.
We do.
Romans 8, 7 through 8, if you'd read that.
Okay. Romans 8, 7 to 8. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
So when we look to the flesh, there's nothing we can do.
No.
When God says that no one does good, no, not one, you know, even our goodness is wretched to God.
Yeah, he can never be good enough.
He says it's filthy, dirty rags.
Right.
And specifically in that time, it was minstrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an idea of really dirty compared to God's holiness.
That's right.
Yeah. So the futility of attempting to achieve righteousness through good works or religious rituals alone is just that. It's vanity.
Yeah.
It's vanity.
Very, very much so.
Need for divine intervention, Ephesians 2:1.
Okay.
A need for divine intervention.
All right. As for you who are dead in your transgressions and sins.
So we are dead.
Yes.
That's why I say the greatest miracle isn't creation. It's not even, although those are all powerful.
Right.
It's not Jesus raising the dead or healing the blind man or it's salvation.
Right.
Because we are dead, spiritually dead. Mm-hmm. Until Jesus saves us.
That's right.
By grace.
You're right.
By his own election.
Yes.
Until then, we're children of the devil.
Right.
Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace we're saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone boast. So if we could do anything, we would boast about it and take credit for it.
Yeah.
We can't even choose God.
No, we cannot.
It's God's grace, God's sovereignty, God's love, God's spirit that draws us to the cross for salvation
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Yeah. God's righteous judgment. Romans 6:23. This is good.
All right. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
He had God, because of who God is, he had to judge sin. So because he loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he sent Jesus to take his wrath that was due us onto the cross and gave us his righteousness that he imputed to everyone that will ever believe in history.
Yes.
If he was just a man and lived a righteous life, he could have only died for one person at that time. True. But because he's also God, he paid for the price of the past saints.
Yes.
The saints at that time and the future saints that would come at the time of the cross.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Transformation through Christ. Read 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Okay. Excuse me a second. 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here.
Our hope through faith in Christ is becoming a new creation empowered by the Holy Spirit to live godly lives. Hmm. When we are saved by the miracle of salvation, we become a new creation. Just like we couldn't choose our physical birth, we can't choose our spiritual birth in Christ.
You're right.
That's why we think that the cross is foolishness until we come to him through salvation he provides through the illumination of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. And so if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator.
True.
If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist.
Right.
If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist.
Mm-hmm.
If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior.
I love that.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I love that. That is so true.
What can we learn through this?
God gives us what we need, and we can't do it on our own.
Can't do it on our own. We need to examine our hearts and acknowledge our need for God's grace and forgiveness that He provides.
Absolutely.
And it challenges us through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to resist sin and pursue holiness with God, which we can't do any of this in our own flesh. No. It has to be a gift from God through the gift of salvation. Yeah.
Yes.
What's your thoughts? Anything?
I just am so glad that we don't have to do it on our own. I'm just glad that God gave us His Son so we could accept Him. And if there is anyone here that does not have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I really hope that after listening to this, you realize how depraved you are, how you cannot do this on your own, and how you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. No magic prayer, no magic, you don't say poof, you don't do anything, abracadabra, no, you just say, Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Yes. I want you to be my Savior. Come into my life and help me live for you.
Amen.
And if you do that, you will see us in heaven.
Yes.
And better than that, you will have eternal life with Jesus as your friend who will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. And this definitely helps us remember that.
God can take your mess, turn to a message for His glory for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.